Lord, I don't know.
Hello. Good evening. I'm very grateful to be here. It's because I take a responsibility for holding out the hand of AA, and to hold out the hand of AA across an ocean is just a great feeling of attitude beyond international borders. Makes me feel especially grateful and fortunate.
ایشون آقای میفرمایند ایشون تیم هست الکلی هستند و خیلی خوشحالند که تونستن امشب تو این جلسه شرکت کنند و پیام AA رو توسط دستهای اعضای AA به اون بر اقیانوس ها هم برسونند و پیام AA به صورت بین المللی در حال گسترش است و خیلی در این از این مورد از این بابت خوشحال هستم. Yes sir.
There's something special about us being alcoholics, a special connection. Some people call us strangers, strangers that we've known all our lives. And you know, for me, it was like the curse that made me different than normal men one day turned and gave me a blessing, the blessing of this fellowship.
Okay. ایشون میفرمایند که یک چیزی در مورد ما الکلیا هستش که در حال این که ما غریبه هستیم ولی مثل این که یک عمر همدیگر رو میشناسیم. و این یکی از اون نعماتی یا نعمتهایی که به من داده شده اعطا شده که ما الکلی ها خیلی راحت حرف دل همدیگر رو میشناسیم ضمن این که ما با آدم های عادی تفاوت داریم. Yes sir.
When I was 16, me and a friend of mine, a 16-year-old friend, Steve, shared a bottle of rum. And we did it so we could see what it was like to be drunk. And from then on, I drank for the purpose of being drunk. It was like it was just planted a seed. It was childish mischief. And I went on as a young man. There were incredible and absurd, tragic things that happened, but I never seemed to affect me. I just kept on. I had friends. I had family. Life was good. And that's how it started.
ایشون میگه که وقتی که من 16 سالم بود با دوستم به نام استیو که اونم 16 سالش بود با یک بطری یه مشروبی به نام رام که مخصوص آمریکای جنوبیه شروع کردیم به مشروب خوردن و خیلی خوشمون اومد و داستان به این صورته که اون موقع ما با وجودی که مشروب می‌خوردیم اتفاقات قشنگ همراه با اتفاقات موجود تو زندگی ما میافتاد ولی چند چون زندگی رو برای ما قشنگ کرده بود ما خیلی دوست داشتیم تمام دنیا رو بگردیم تمام دنیا رو مست باشیم تمام وقت و خلاصه به قول خودمون حالش رو ببریم و این گونه بود که این داستان شروع شد و به سالهای بعد زندگی من هم ادامه پیدا کرد. Yes, sir.
Then one day, and as we say here, one day it stopped working. And I wanted to quit, but I could not. I would resolve over and over again. I would be desperate. I would be desperate to quit. But then within hours, I would forget that desperation, almost like I didn't have it. I'd wake up in the morning sick and depressed, and I call them demons. Terror, bewilderment, frustration, and despair. They were there with me when I woke up, and I was tired of seeing them. I cursed them. I promised myself I would quit, but I could not. This went on and on.
Okay, perfect. می‌فرمایند یه روزی بالاخره این مشروبی که می‌خوردم تأثیرش مثل قبل نبود و دیگه مثل قبل کار نمی‌داد، مؤثر نبود، جواب نمی‌داد و من تصمیم گرفتم که ترک بکنم. منتها نمی‌تونستم. هی با خودم عهد می‌بستم، پیمان می‌بستم که این کارو دیگه نکن. منتها یه چند ساعت بعد درست مثل این که یادم میرفت از عهد شکنی میکردم، پیمان شکنی میکردم و به این صورت ادامه پیدا کرد که صبح بلند میشدم و فکر میکردم توسط اجنه دوربر من هستن و این اجنهی بودن که هیچ کاری نمیتونستم در موردشون بکنم. خسته بودم، ناراضی بودم و عصبانی بودم. اینا اسم اون جنهاییه که اصطلاحا دارم میگن، تشبیه دارم میکنم، که دوربر مخ منو گرفته بودن و منو مجبور میکردن که از دوباره مشروب بخورم و مست بشم و به هیچ وجه من الوجود نمیتونستم ترک بکنم و این کار رو خرابتر کرد. یک سر.
And I remember, as this went on, I remember looking in the mirror and thinking, why are you destroying yourself? Why am I destroying myself? And then I would remember 30 years back when a girlfriend told me that. She told me that. She said, why are you destroying yourself? And looking back now, I realize, and I'm going to share with you, if you're ever in that situation, don't ask the question, because the question always was answered by more drink. I was powerless over alcohol, and my life was unmanageable. But I did not say that because I was still selfish. I wanted to be free. That's all I wanted to be free. I did not care. I did not realize the nature of what was happening to me. I was enslaved.
Okay. All right. و ایشون میگه من میگه من یادم چی شد؟ ایشون میفرماید که من یادم میاد که توی آینه نگاه میکردم و از خودم میپرسیدم که تو چرا این کار رو میکنی؟ چرا داری زندگی خودتو نابود میکنی؟ و این بعد از مدتی بود که من مشروب میخوردم و یادم میومد که 30 سال قبل از این دوست دخترم توی جوانی به من همین سوال کرده بود که چرا داری خودتو نابود میکنی با دست خودت. مسئله که ازش پیشنهاد میکنم که شما هیچ وقت این سوال رو تو آینه از خودتون نکنید، چون جوابی نداره. جوابش اینه که برای من اینطور بوده که من هنوز خودخواه بودم، من هنوز دوست داشتم به خودخواهی و تکیه به اراده شخصی خودم ادامه بدم و حاضر نبودم قدم یک خودم رو بپذیرم که زندگی من غیر قابل اداره شده بود و ناتوان بودم در مورد الکل. تا وقتی که این بعدها برای من مسئله روشن شد. Yes, sir.
Then I'm going to tell you about the fellowship, and it was lucky that I somehow walked into a meeting of alcoholics one day out of not desperation, although I should have been, from curiosity. And on that day, when I walked into a room, the first promise I believe was fulfilled. And the promise goes like this: that loneliness, deep in the heart of every alcoholic that never before could be reached, is gone and may never return again. I was attracted to the friendliness and common purpose. Me being a people pleaser, it somehow sucked me in. I really liked it. And I was attracted to this place that I would come back in again and again. Now, I could actually...
تا یک روزی من شانسی لاکی از روی شانس وارد از روی کنجکاوی وارد یکی از جلسات AA شدم و خیلی جالب بود که اونجا در مورد یکی از وعده های 12 AA داشتن صحبت میکردن که اون تنهایی که در قلب همه الکلی ها وجود داره و انزوایی که در وجود تمام الکلی ها وجود داره از بین خواهد رفت. همونجا نمیدونم چه اتفاقی افتاد که من جذب این برنامه شدم و عاشق کتاب بزرگ شدم و این داستان یه اتفاقی در وجودم افتاد که منو به جلسات بعدی و جلسات بعدی و جلسات بعدی جذب کرد. Yes, sir.
And so now I felt a kind of a terminal self-reliance. I thought I knew the answer. And yet I could get 30 days sober. I could get 30 days sober to get along with my new friends. And you know, this was amazing to be able to do that much. But there was more yet to be done because I was very confused. Being a egotistic, intellectual, self-reliant person, I didn't believe those 12 steps on the wall for me. Still, when I liked the meeting and the beauty of this fellowship, which I still enjoy, that I was attracted to. But then it ended up that I would get, that wasn't my first 30-day check, and I'd ended up getting another 30-day check and a 60-day check. It was almost as if I was held to a place I didn't know why and was placed under a cloud of grace that would someday fall upon me and clean me. And I didn't realize this was happening.
اتفاقی که افتاد برای اینکه وقتی وارد جلسات شدم من فکر میکردم که با اراده به اتکا به نفس خودم با اراده به نیروی خودم با اراده به روشن فکری خودم و اینتلیکچوالیتی خودم و اتکا به خودم 30 روز پاک میموندم 30 روز هوشیار بودم ولی بعد از 30 روز لرزش میکردم بعد دفعه بعدش 60 روز هوشیار میبودم و چون با اتکا به اراده شخصی خودم و با خودکاری های خودم میخواستم برنامه رو اجرا بکنم نمیشد به عبارت دیگه تسلیم نبودم و داستان هی تکرار شد و به موازات اینها من اون قدم هایی رو که به جلسات دعواتش گوبت میکردن باور نداشتم نمیخواستم قبول بکنم در موردش مقاومت میکردم و این باعث لغزش من به دفعات زیادی شد. Yes, sir.
And now I became a little desperate. I haven't yet admitted to myself, to my innermost self, I was an alcoholic. I was enjoying the fellowship. And if not doing that, because I believe the steps work in order, I hadn't come to believe. I hadn't really come to believe. I was still self-reliant. It was me. I reached a point where I wanted to be sober, and I knew I was going to drink. I came in with a meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous, and it was January 13th, 2007. On that date, I came there desperate, but I wasn't going to tell him what the problem. I wasn't going to admit that I wanted to be sober and I knew I was going to drink. I wasn't going to admit to him. Something raised my hand. I had 82 days of physical abstinence from alcohol at that time. Something raised my hand to tell those people what I didn't want to tell them, that I wasn't getting it. I shook with this. I was confronted. I was confused. I was at my turning point.
Okay. میگه حالا توجه داشته باشید که من با اتکا به خودم میخواستم برنامه رو اجرا کنم ولی لازم اصلا کافی نبود. منتها از انجمن و اعضای انجمن لذت میبردم، از حرفایی که میزدن با خیلی حال میکردم، ولی با تمام وجود باور نداشتم. از اعماق وجود الکلیسم رو نپذیرفته بودم، از اعماق وجود تسلیم نبودم نسبت برنامه، تا یک جایی رسید. ژانویه 2007 که با وجود این که من 82 روز بود که هوشیار بودم و مشروب نخورده بودم، خیلی حالم بد بود، سردرگم بودم، عصبانی بودم و یک چیزی که نمیدونم چیه دست منو بلند کرد و من اونجا مشارکت کردم و گفتم من نمیفهمم شما چی میگید، من متوجه نمیشم شما در مورد چی صحبت میکنید و این داره منو خیلی اذیت و آزار میده. Yes sir.
When one alcoholic plants a seed in the mind of another, the true nature of the spiritual malady, that alcoholic will never be the same. And I believe that's what happened to me after the meeting when two men approached me. And even today, I remember the look in that man's eyes when he told me, "You're the reason I came today." That jumbled me up. It made me look. It made me meditate. It made me think. The other man told me that maybe my program was not what I thought it was. Maybe you need some more vodka, he was saying. He gave me his business card. Those men planted that seed. They made me look at the real nature of my spiritual malady and what was going to happen to me. I was the guy who did a final experiment. I went to a party. I went to a party with my Silver Patron tequila and my Pacifico Blanco beers. And I did my final experiment.
All right. I drew there now. I'm making notes. ببینید چیزی که میگه که تخم این برنامه یک جوری در وجود الکلی ها باید کاشته بشه. و اون روز بعد از این که من گفتم حالا خراب و این چیزا، دو نفر بعد از جلسه اومدن سراغ من که من هیچ وقت حرفای اونها و نگاه اونها رو فراموش نخواهم کرد. یک نفر به من، یکیشون به من گفت دلیل این که امروز من اومدم جلسه به خاطر شماست آقای تیف، که یک جوری به شما بفهمونم داستان چیه. و اون یکی دیگه برگشت به من گفت اون آقای دیگه که شاید توی این مقدار دیگه باید وزکا بخوری، یه دورتو بزنی تا حالت جا بیاد و برای هر کاری میخوای بکن. اون شب به من گفته شد که شما یک ناخوشی و بیماری روحی داری و اون چیزی است که اذیتت میکنه و خودت هستی که این ناخوشی روحی رو برای خودت دامن میزنی و باید بهش بپردازی. و اون شب من رفتم برای تجربه نهایی که بخواستم با الکل داشته باشم به یک پارتی، با آبجو هم، با تکیلا هم، و تو اون پارتی خلاصه زدم به بدن و اون تجربه نهایی بود و آخرین تجربه بود که من با الکل در 13 ژانویه 2007 داشتم. Yes, sir.
So that morning I did not drink that day. And I haven't had anything to drink in the days that follow for 14 years. That morning, and it was like a magic. It's like a magic to me, and I call the magic one alcoholic talking to another one. And planting the seed of the nature. And then I came to believe. When I came to believe for me, it was not to resolve to quit drinking. I did not resolve to quit drinking that morning. I wanted to be sober. Nothing else mattered. And because I wanted to be sober, I surrendered. Anything that was there, the steps, the sponsorship, everyone, I ran back to take all the solutions, take all the suggestions, because I wanted to be sober and nothing else mattered. It was almost like a magic, not to resolve to quit drinking, not to even try to quit drinking, but to be sober. And this was because I came to believe. I came to believe a self-reliant person who thought that I had the answer. All that year of half measures, I was the one that was going to make the decision to stay sober.
But that was... اون صبح اون روز که 13 ژانویه 14 سال پیش بود درست مثل این که یک اون تخمی که در وجود من کاشته شده بود شکفته شد و درست مثل یک معجزه بود و من میخواستم برای اولین بار هوشیار باشم بدون این که قولی بدم که دیگه مشروب نخورم بدون این که عهدی ببندم فقط میخواستم هوشیار باشم و دویدم به دنبال پیشنهاداتی که توی کتاب به من داده شده با اشتیاق متوجه شدم که اتکاب به نفس محدود خودم باعث تمام گرفتاری های من بوده و باور من عوض شد به این باور رسیدم که داستان چیز دیگه‌ایه به این باور رسیدم که یک نیروی برتر میتونه به من کمک کنه و تمام اون کتاب و با اشتیاق میخواستم همراه با وعده ها و همراه با تمام پیشنهاداتش قبول کنم تسلیم شدم Yes, sir.
Now, I for my first year of sober, you know, keep in mind that I had two 30-day chips and a 60-day chip in that first year. And so I carried that card. I carried that card that the guy gave me, and I wasn't going to call him because I knew I wanted to drink. I didn't call him. I didn't take his suggestion at the time. But then I carried the card around with me. And it was my magic charm. I looked at it. I thought I wanted to call him up at a year sober. In my mind, I imagined calling that man up, that specific man after a year, and tell him that I'm sober and thank him. And this happened at a month and a 3 month part. It was part of my meditation. It was a magic charm that I kept around with me. And that's why I think this is a magic, kind of one alcoholic talking to another one, invented by a couple alcoholics over 80 years. And it became a wonderful, warm fellowship and an accompaniment because it gave me a gift of going to meetings and then following the steps. The fact that I could work step one and two like a flash in the morning and coming to believe put me in position for the rest of it. And the rest of the promises that I've been practicing ever since.
Okay, that's it. میگه اولین سال هوشیاری من بود. من دو سه تا چیپ 30 روزگی داشتم و 60 روزگی داشتم تو چیپم و اینا رو تو دستم نگه می داشتم و نمی خواستم با اون آقایی که پیام رو به من داده بود زنگ بزنم و تشکر بکنم ازش. و همش توی ذهنم اینو با عنوان مراقبه بود که با خودم میکردم که مگر میشه این معجزه اتفاق بیفته در زندگی من. تا روزی که یک ساله شدم و تلفن کردم با اون دوستی که این پیام رو من داده بود و به خاطر هدیه هوشیاری، به خاطر هدیه قدم ها، به خاطر وعده های دوازدهگانه از اون شخصی که من پیام داده بود و به اون کسی که من پیام داده بود و تشکر کردم ازش و شروع کردم با تمایل و اشتیاق به ادامه قدم ها و انجام دادن قدم ها و که با وعده ها و اون چیزهایی که کتاب بزرگ کرد. Yes, sir.
Well, I didn't have the God problem that some people have that we hear. People that get in and hear about a God and get scared and think it's not for them. That was not me. That was not a particular thing. There's all kinds of ways to do this, but I had God in my life growing up. And the religious life that I had as a child gave me my skills, gave me my education, gave me the thing that made me get through life. So it wasn't that I had a problem with God. It was at one point that it had to do with me and my self-reliance and what I wanted. It was the nature of my spiritual malady. Selfishness, self-centeredness. That's what it was. I wanted to feel the way I wanted to feel, and I did not care about the results of myself or anybody else. I got to a point where God was fine with me, but as far as religion, I was interested in drugs and sex and rock and roll, and they weren't. I just kind of left it. Now, coming back into coming to believe, and then my self-sufficient, I would think that the Fellowship of Alcoholics Anonymous was my higher power. But there's so many gifts that we have. I suspect there are a lot of people there that have God in their life and have God in their life. A man like this considered that even though they have God in their life, they have the disease of alcoholism. So what is it that they need to go back to come to believe in?
Just
but consider
second.
That.
Just a second. All right. میگه من از اون آدم های بودم که با مفهوم خدا و مشکلی نداشتم. من از اون منکران وجود خدا نبودم. البته خیلی ها توی این برنامه با این مفهوم خدا ادامونه که او را درک میکنید کاملا مشکل دارم. منطقه من به خاطر اینکه در کودکی مذهبی بودم با این قضیه مشکلی نداشتم. منتها رسیدم به یه جایی که من متوجه شدم که خدا تو زندگیم به یه نوعی هست، ولی طبیعت بیماری الکلیسم من که خودخواهی، خودمحوری و اتکا به خودم بود و من فقط در فکر خودم بودم منو خیلی اذیت میکرد، چون اتکا به نفس برای من لازم بود ولی به هیچ وجه کافی نبود. و من به این باور رسیدم که یک نیروی برتر بالاخره توی زندگی من لازمه که وجود داشته باشه و اون روزها فکر میکردم این نیروی برتر انجمن AA هست که داره به من کمک میکنه. شما هم ممکنه تو مملکت خودتون یک چیزهایی مثل این داشته باشید. Yes, sir.
For the religious man, then, if you consider most of the religions that I'm familiar with forbid alcohol, yet we're alcoholics. And so our practices kind of deny our own faith. I mean, back in the stories here in the United States, there are preachers preaching the gospel with their bottle of booze right there. You know, their practice belies something. So coming to believe becomes a special kind of spiritualism. And I've seen this before with people, not just of Christians, but other religions too, that have shared to me that it was a new connection with the faith they already had when they came to believe. When they came to believe that a power greater than themselves could restore them to sanity, and it could have been the power that they've been with as a child all the time, and it just completes and it perfects the faith that they have. For me, I never really got back into the dogma or the religious of my life. I just respected it now like I never had, because I realized that coming to believe and that faith and the power of it, especially for an alcoholic and Alcoholics Anonymous, we come to believe a power greater than myself, and it finds a grounding. That first promise was that the fellowship took away my loneliness. Then the promise was fulfilled that I was free from this enslavement, free from this enslavement of alcohol. And okay, how did it happen? Coming to believe.
Okay. میگه بیشتر مذهب ها همونطور که میدونید مخالف الکل هستن، ولی که میبینیم که توشون الکلیسم وجود داره. حتی توی اینجا کشیشهایی هستن که مست هستن، مست لایعقل هستن، ولی اونجا واسطن و در مورد خدا و در مورد باورهای مذهبیشون دارن صحبت میکنن. مشکل باورهای که من الکلی دارم، باورهایی که به نیروی برتر باورش ندارم در حقیقت. مشکل من مذهب من نیست. مشکل من اینطور بوده که من با اتکا به خودم، اتکا به نفس خودم، به خاطر خودخواهی و خودمحوری خودم بوده که اذیت می شدم. امروزه من دیدگاهم نسبت به مذهب عوض شده، خیلی هم دوستش دارم، خیلی هم احترام بهش میذارم، ولیکن مشکل من مشکل ملودی ناخوشی روحیه و قراره که این ناخوشی روحی یک جورایی برطرف بشه. حالا میتونه از طریق مذاهب باشه، میتونه از طریق ای ای باشه، و اون وعده اول برای من مهم بود که بنده یه خدایی پیدا بکنم که منو از اون تنهایی، از اون انزوا رها بکنه و یک چیز جدیدی رو جایگزینش بکنه. این برای من بالاتر از هر گونه باوری به مذاهب بود. Yes, sir.
What we're up against, because we're special, we're not normal. What we think, what we come to think, is it's almost as if things will work differently now. And it's so crazy, it's like putting a hand into the fire and expecting not to get burned. But women, this is out of the book now, the men and women drink essentially because they like the effect produced by alcohol. The sensation is so elusive that while they admit it is injurious, they cannot, after a time, differentiate the true from the false. We pursue pain to have pleasure. We pursue pain to have pleasure. That's how crazy we get.
Okay, just a second. More don't bother. I have to see. I'm making notes. Okay. میگه ما آدم های مخصوصی هستیم. الکلی ها رو میگه. ما آدم های طبیعی نیستیم. با آدم های دیگر تفاوت داریم. از نظر جسمی و از نظر فکری. ما با یک چیزی در افتادیم به نام بیماری الکلی است. و یکی از چیزهایی که اتفاق میفته برای ما اینی که این از توی کتابه که ما هر روز دستمونو میکنیم تو آتیش یا روی اجاق میذاریم و میگیم امروز دستمونو نمیسوزونه این آتش. حالا داستان از چه قراره؟ داستان از این قراره که آدم ها مشروب میخورن چون اون حالت اغوا کننده شو دوست دارن و به خاطر اینکه از دوباره احتیاج دارن مشروب بخورن این ببخش الکلی ها رو داره میگه این کار رو ادامه میدن و متوجه نمیشن که دستشون رو داره میسوزونه. داستان به این صورته که یواش یواش این انسان هایی که این راه رو دنبال میکنن تشخیص نمیدن چه کاری درسته و چه چیزی اشتباهه و این درست همون داستان نداشتن سلامت عقل که نمیتونیم تشخیص بدیم چی درسته چی غلط. هر روز صبح بلند میشیم و فکر میکنیم امروز با چیزهای دیگه فرق داره. داستان به این صورته که ما درد میکشیم ولی از در کنارش هم داریم لذت میبریم از مشروب خوردن و این به یه جایی میرسه که بهش میگیم همون آخر خط. لذت میبریم ولی درد میکشیم، درد میکشیم ولی لذت میبریم تا یه جایی که درد خیلی زیاد میشه. Yes, sir.
It's an obsession of the mind, an analogy of the body. The obsession of the mind is this idea that we're chasing something that doesn't exist, and we take our first drink, that we know the effects of taking the first drink. That's the obsession. I can drink and get something that I can never get. It doesn't work. I couldn't get drunk, I couldn't get sober, it doesn't work, and yet I keep trying. You know, if I look at a desperate situation where I'm destroying myself and I don't know why, and then I continue to destroy myself, that was the answer to it. The allergy of the body is one time we take that first drink, we not stop, we just keep on more and more. And add to that the idea that our willpower is the agent that's going to get us out of this. That's why step two works. You stop using that willpower. You cede the willpower to something because you're desperate. You can't. You go back to something, a spiritual life, a spiritual idea that you've had before. You go back to it. You throw away all your opinions about what you don't like about religions. And you understand that this is spirituality. This is something that was invented by some men so they could stay sober and help you sober. The idea of how we communicate, how our fellowship works, everything. It's just really a wonderful kind of thing. Once you surrender that thing and do, it's like a journey that you just start. Because now we have the issues of keeping our emotions in balance and going back and live our lives. All the destruction that we've done. This is the start of a journey, a wonderful journey that I'm so privileged to have. Even to today, to do this wonderful thing, to pitch my message across an ocean. I mean, God gave us this technology somehow. If it's out there, it's God, because God is everything. Or nothing. You decide. I've decided. And I came to believe, and I'm so grateful that I did.
Can I do a little bit of translation, please? All right, perfect. You did it. اینجا هستش که من متوجه میشم که اراده شخصی اصلا کافی نیست و موضوع ایده نیروی برتر به وجود میاد که من با اراده خودم نمیتونم و اونجاست که من تسلیم میشم. و وقتی که تسلیم میشم دیگه اراده خودم رو میذارم کنار و یک نیروی برتر رو جایگزین اراده شخصی خودم میکنم و اونجاست و تازه اونجاست که این سفر روحانی و سفر معنوی شروع میشود. اونجاست که متوجه میشم باید بگویم که شکست خوردم و تازه سفر من شروع میشه. و خدا را شکر میکنم که این موضوع رو فهمیدم و امروز میتونم به خاطر شرکت در این جلسه پیام AA رو به شما که اون طرف اقیانوس ها و اون طرف آب تشریف دارید برسونم. و این جاییه که خدا به من کمک کرده و وارد این برنامه شده تا از طریق حتی این جلسات آنلاین من این کار رو بتونم برای شما بکنم و حال خودم هم خوب بشه و این پیام رو به شما برسونم. این کاریه که ما به تنهایی نتونستیم انجام بدیم ولی خداوند به ما کمک کرده که بتونیم در خدمت شما باشیم. Yes sir, you have about 5 minutes to wrap it up.
Oh, okay. You know, all this thing that happened to me was just, I look at it as the start of a journey. Because there followed the other things that I had, like the resentments towards people that I had, that clouded this, what they call the sunshine of spirit. I could, if it's somebody that I didn't like what they were doing, or somebody that wasn't paying enough attention to me, it would take me over. And they say resentments are just the bane of alcoholic. It blinds them from the spiritual path. And I learned from a specific place in the big book, it was page 552, the power of prayer to get rid of those simple kind of things in our lives where we're some kind of jealousy, some kind of insecurity, or some kind of anger that you just don't like what's going on. I don't like what's happening in the political situation around me. What does it help me to reflect over and over and over again and forget what I can do, who I can help? Page 552, by the way, says if you have a resentment, you pray. You pray for the person that they be granted the same thing that you would want for themselves. And if it doesn't work, you pray some more. And this was actually, in fact, my experience specifically, because I had a resentment towards a younger brother who was crazy. He was a verbally abusive individual. And I would just, it would just take me over until I started praying. I started praying about him. And what we do in the meetings is we pray out, and I would think of him as the alcoholic who still suffers all the time. I remember one evening, set up to pray out, and it was the first time I thought of him for that day. I was free. This is the journey that we have going on, that we can clean the mind to see the spiritual vision of how to help us, how to go back to the places that we've had, that we've supported, our work, the thing that we used to create and feel good about. We can go back with this new attitude to our faith. We can go back to our families. That must be the first one, our families.
Just a second. من سعی میکنم اون چیزایی که ایشون گفت اونطوری که خودم متوجه شدم خدمتتون میگم. میگه این شروع سفر روحانی من بود، سفری که یواش یواش با رنجش ها و ترس ها روبرو شدم و داستان به این صورت بود که این آدم ها یا مفاهیمی که من ازشون رنجش داشتم جلوی آفتاب روحانی ته وجود من رو میگرفت و مرتبا صدراه میشد که من با خدا نتونم ارتباط برقرار کنم و مثل بختک میافتادند روی بهبودی من. این رنجش ها و ترس ها حالت اینه که بختک داشتن و درون من رو تاریک میکردن و اونجاست که قدرت دعا نشان داده میشه که من رو از اون موضوع رنجش دور میکنه. اگر رنجش دارید از کسی یا شخصی یا مفهومی، برای اون شخص دعا کنید تا خودتون رهایی پیدا بکنید. مثلا و اگر جواب نداد دعا کردن، بیشتر دعا کنید و اگر جواب نداد باز هم بیشتر دعا کنید. من در مورد برادر کوچکم این مشکل داشتم که این برادرم کارهای عجیب غریب میکرد و من به شدت از دستش عصبانی بودم و رنجش داشتم و تو جلسات به من گفتن که برای برادرت دعا کن. درست مثل یک الکلی تازه واردی که وارد برنامه میشه که چطور میری کمکش میکنی و دعاش میکنی که بهش کمک کنی، در مورد برادرت هم که الکلی نیست دعا کن و بهش کمک کن و با این نگرش جدید، با این اتیتود جدید، با این دیدگاه جدید سعی کن به برادرت کمک کنی و برش دعا کنی. من شروع کردم به این کارو کردم و برای او دعا کردم. مسئله اینه که خودم راحت شدم، مسئله اینه که خودم رهایی پیدا کردم، مسئله اینه که حالم بهتر شد. اوکی سر.
All right, well, I think I'm about ready to give you the final blessings and my wishing for you that what we say here may it lighten your burden. And thank you so much for letting me share.
I really appreciate that you're showing up, Tim. I hope to see you ASAP somewhere in this world, in this journey. ایشون میفرمایند که من خیلی خوشحالم که تونستم امروز بتونم در خدمت باشم، به من بسیار کمک کرده، من تونستم که پیام ای ای رو به اون بر اقیانوسا برسونم و فاصله هامون رو کمتر و کمتر بکنیم و تشکر میکنن با دعوت خدمتی که داشتن انجام میدادن. It was lovely to hear your share. Thank you so much, sir.